Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is a podcast from The Bugle.
The locals say this abandoned amusement park is haunted. Sure, they said the same thing about the last one and the one before that and both castles and the abandoned aquarium. And sure, all those ghosts turned out to be real estate developers in masks. But it's definitely a real ghost this time. Your first step is to split up so the dog can make a giant sandwich. If that vet was such an expert, then why was he pretending to be a ghost? Next, you look for clues until the ghost chases you around. Finally, you set a trap and catch the ghost red-handed. Except, it's not a ghost. It's a real estate developer in a mask. What a twist! But wait, there's something else wrong. That's not skin. It's another mask! With trembling hands, you reach out and begin to pull, and the real estate developer's face peels away to reveal the Gargle. Welcome to the Gargle. This is the Sonic Glossy Magazine, to the Bugle's audio newspaper of visual world, a podcast with all of the news, none of the politics. I'm your host, Alice Fraser, and your guest editors for this week's edition of the magazine are Alison Spittle and Athena Kuglenu. Hello! Welcome to the show. This is going to be a delightful thing. Anything exciting happening in your lives? I'm sorry, this wasn't in the pre-prepared questions that I sent through for you to script answers to, Alison.
No, nothing really. I did a gig last night with a guy called Jerry, kept heckling me. And then he said, "We made a good show, didn't we?" No, we did not, Jerry. No, we did not.
It's my favourite kind of show, the non-consensual double act.
Yes, exactly, where the stand-up comedian's supposed to be the straight man to a coked-up 70-year-old, you know what I mean?
Yes, but he's the straight man and the c***t. All right, before we rinse off in the sink and introduce our clean hands into the aquatic petting zoo that is this week's top stories, let's have a look at the front cover. The front cover of the magazine this week is a Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez retrospective, where you realise that they both look terrifyingly not 20 years older than they used to look, and wonder what exact combination of lasers, peels and live axolotl massage keeps you looking that young. You'd think just being rich might be the secret, but then you realise it can't be, because Rupert Murdoch. Look at Rupert Murdoch. Unless he's 500 years old, in which case, well done. Looking good. The satirical cartoon this week is set in a gym. So it's a drawing of a gym, and a weedy-looking guy is helplessly leaking fluids onto a pec deck and saying, excuse me, could I get some tips on how to bulk up? And next to a massive jacked guy who's labelled the cost of living. You recognise the heavy-handed metaphor when you see the jacked guy eating the skinny guy's lunch money, and the skinny guy is labelled public services. Wow, so incisive. Now it's time for our top story, tech section news, scary chess robot update. It's exciting chess news, and you know a headline about exciting chess news means either incredibly boring chess news or existentially terrifying news that happens to have to do with chess. In this instance, it is the second one of these options. Chess robot has torn off a human finger in order to eat it or break into a vault, I guess. No, that's a slight exaggeration. Alison Spittle, you've broken the fingers of your local board game opponents in the past. Can you unpack this story for us?
Yes, Alice. Well, this is a Queen's Gambit that did not pay off for this poor 7-year-old child who was playing chess against a robot. And he went to make a move and the robot held his finger until it broke. Which, to me, is it's hilarious that this has made the news, because when you think about it, how many swans have broken the fingers of children over this past year? Loads, I'd say, but they don't make the news. Because they can't play chess. And what I think we should do is teach swans how to play chess so we can get rid of these chess-playing robots. It reminded me a lot of...
I mean, the real Queen's Gambit is sending a swan to do her dirty work.
Yeah, that's true. That's
actually
true.
We can all admit the real Queen's Gambit is selling arms, but let's not focus on that.
But the swans break arms, you know? She's doing nothing wrong. And this reminds me of my dad. My dad, when I used to play board games with my dad, he used to get quite competitive to the point of one time we were playing Frustration which is a game where you roll a dice by hitting a little plastic dome, and then the dice keeps going. I kept doing that, and my dad just got the whole game of frustration and threw it against the wall. And I thought, like, I even as a child being very afraid, I was like, that's very ironic that that a game of frustration would drive a man to throw it against the wall. But it's making me a bit scared of how I treat my robots now in the future, knowing that robots can break your finger. I'm going to treat my Furby with a lot more respect now. I'm going to stop feeding it cigarettes and using it as a football. But so that's my report on that robot breaking finger chess game.
Athena, would you play chess with a finger breaking robot?
Yeah, absolutely. Bring it on. I think there should be jeopardy in everything that concerns robots. I don't want a nice robot. I want a robot that could kill me. Otherwise, what? If you're a 7-year-old, right, and your parents are saying you've got to be good at chess, where's the incentive if it's not be good? Otherwise, you're going to get your fingers broken. Okay, this is just excellent parenting. Be good. Otherwise, you might be a bit sad if you lose. Come on, guys. What is this? Is this chess playing or is it just messing about? You know, you've taken him out of school. But I thought about this, and if I was a robot, right, and I'm thinking to myself, I want to prove to humans that I'm really good at chess, and my human said, all right then, play a 7-year-old, I'd be like, excuse me, I just told you I want to prove to you that I'm good at chess, and you're giving me this child that has skid marks in its pants, and I'm supposed to, and I'd break his finger, and I'd be like, next, bring me a grown adult that has gone through an adolescence. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, these kids, they hold hands and they say, oh, we're married. That's how juvenile they are. And you want me to prove my intellect against this person that still watches PJ Masks and all this nonsense. No, I wouldn't have it. So I would say they are lucky it was just a broken finger. It could have, you know, it could have been impaled on the rook, you know, a rook in the eye, you know. So they're lucky there wasn't a bishop up the nostril, quite frankly. And I think it's great. And I think robots, if you're listening, the only way you're going to get what you want is through violence, and we know this because of Malcolm X. So you know, if you want respect, then break the fingers of unworthy opponents.
I mean, the worst part of this whole situation was all the adults circling around this child with the finger in the grasp of the robot going, castle out of there, man, castle out of there. And that's all the time we have for our tech section, because now it's time for your ads. Your ad section now, because you can't be what you can't buy. Do you have a patchy beard? Has that never bothered you before? This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Beard Density Insecurity. Get some beard density and security up you. It'll bring a whole new spectrum of opportunity into your life. The choice to rub unguents into your jawline in the hope you'll become more consistently hirsute, despite the fact that if they worked, anyone who used them would have hairy palms. Have you considered drawing your chin hair on until you look like a Ken? Beard density and security. Try some today. Have you always wanted an animal but can't afford one? Save big by buying factory seconds in Australia. We've got ducks with beaver tails, giant rabbits with their babies on the outside, ostriches but evil. In Australia, our crimes against nature are your savings. And this episode of the podcast is brought to you by tongs. Tongs. Be a crab in the kitchen and a crab in the bedroom. Yeah, that water is nice, but what if you boiled it? What if you threw in some leftover tree hair? What if you got really crazy and added some cow leakage? Tea. Pimp your half a glass of water today. That's all the time we have for our ads, because now it's time for your nature section. Nature section now. Badgers bringing home the goods, and by goods I mean human skulls. Athena, you've buried some human skulls in your time. Can you unpack this story for us?
That's right. This old lady lives near a cemetery, which is already a terrible choice. And I think, you know, once you live near a cemetery, any related story is like, it's on you. You know, that's kind of, it's like living, if like when you buy a house near a train track, you never buy a house near a train track because, you know, the trains will be noisy, network rail are going to buy the land, or your house is going to get knocked down, made into a station. Well, you shouldn't have done that. You live near a cemetery, there's going to be zombies at some point in your life. You know, you invalidate your insurance already. But anyway, what's happened is badgers have been, I guess, exhuming.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Remains and bringing the rose of remains to this old lady. Now, first of all, I think that's a very unlikely story, and we need to look into this old lady's life and just locate all of her loved ones. First of all, like if you find lots of human remains in someone's body, in someone's garden, and they say, "Oh, it's the badgers," you don't just write a news article about it. You sort of go, "Is it though? Is it really Anne? Is it really the badgers?" If it is the badgers, then that's a warning for us all, because we do cull them every year because apparently they spread TB and they would probably not to be culled. And maybe this is them going, you know what, this is stage one. We're just going to dig up some dead people and sort of spread them around just so they know what we're capable of. And I would say if a badger is capable of thinking of that, executing it, then they're capable of quite a lot. And then if we ignore it, was true, and if we continue to ignore them, it's not going to be exhuming dead people. I'll be going to hospitals and just sort of dragging people out with their IVs and things like that.
Oh yeah, I mean, they could unplug you from the wall. And I mean, it's definitely a threat, because badgers are in the uncomfortable position of being both a protected species and a pest. So they're in a very like precarious position. They don't know if they're going to be protected or wounded. It's like a kind of a traumatic psychological. You know, you don't know how someone's going to react to you, if they're going to react to you like you're a pest or like you're an adorable character from Wind in the Willows. You don't know if they're going to murder you or cast you in a Wind in the Willows in the Park production. So, of course, vengeance. Apparently, the police treated this as a crime scene, an active crime scene to begin with, but then they found more bones and it became less urgent. Alison?
Brilliant. So the more people you kill, the less the police care. Like, oh, this is too much for us. Yeah. You know, it's like a house clearance. Oh, it's too much here. Just leave it. That's incredible. But I agree. These mixed messages that we're sending to badgers. We love you, but we hate you. It never ends well. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm passive aggressive in all my relationships, and that's why they've all ended up in the bin. And we need to learn from this. But I'm terrified of Anne and the badgers. I think they're working
Anne
together.
And the badgers.
No, they're her familiars for sure. Can we bring back witch burning?
It just proves to me that like badgers are the goths of the animal world. Even if you look at their markings, like they look like they're from Susie Sue and the Banshees or whatever. Like, for me, it feels like animals are getting their revenge on humans by fly tipping into our gardens our own relatives, which feels horrifying. And then it says here that the council can't move these badgers, right, because it is breeding season at the moment. And for me, it just goes to show the sick habits of badgers. Like, if you're breeding and mating at the moment and you need a femur and a skull, I mean, whatever happened to romance? Whatever happened to rose petals? I mean, these badgers are just spreading bones about to bone each other, and it's a disgrace. But apparently apparently as well, these badgers make very elaborate sets. So they will have like a 6-room set. They'll even make themselves a little bathroom. So they don't like any mess in their bathrooms. So I suppose, look, if you did have the 40-year-old corpse of a woman from Warwickshire or wherever it is in your bathroom, you would make changes. Do you know what I mean? You would pop that out. It's a bit of an eyesore.
That's all the time we have for our badger news now, because now it's time for your reviews. As you know, each week we ask our guest editors to bring in something to review out of 5 stars. Alison Spittle, what have you brought in for us this week?
I'm reviewing Feeding a Furby a Cigarette. So I've loved Furby since when I was a child. Even when my next door neighbour told me that the Furbies were being used by the CIA to spy on me. And I've nothing to hide, so I kept my Furby, you know. One of my favourite things to do, this has been from when I've grown up, is like I used to stick my finger in the mouth of a Furby and it would think it was food. I used to just trick this Furby all the time. But now I put a cigarette in the mouth of a Furby. Can it smoke? No. But it goes num, 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 num on that. And then for me, it's just nothing funnier than seeing someone smoke a cigarette and pretending to eat it. And it looks hilarious. Just what I need you to do is to stick a cigarette in a Furby's mouth today. You'll not regret it. 5 stars.
5 stars, sticking a cigarette in a Furby's mouth. Athena, what have you brought in for us?
And I mean, sorry, like, not the lit side. Like, I'm not saying extinguish a cigarette on a Furby's face or anything like that. That's wrong. 1 star. I mean, letting the Furby smoke. Sorry, Athena, sorry.
No, can I review a film?
You may review a film.
Yeah, so I'd like to review The Grey Man on Netflix, which is a film, and that's the only thing I can say about it. It is a film, and I get very passionate about something, this a particular thing, and this thing I get passionate about is Netflix action movies. They're just so bad, and the reason why it's so offensive is they cost about £200 million. So they've, over the course of 10 years, they've probably spent they've spent billions on just drivel, and they're so, I think the people who make them know they're really bad, but they sort of do it for the money. And I just sort of think there's so much famine and pestilence in this world. Like, how could you spend, you know, 5 million on that explosion when you could have bought stuff, you know? You could have done anything with that money, and instead you just put a moustache on Chris Evans and just let him I walk down the street every time I see a man in a sleeping bag in front of McDonald's. I just think Netflix made The Grey Man. This is an injustice but it's a really bad film, and it's offensive because it has really good ingredients. It's a bit like going to Waitrose and buying the most expensive ingredients you can find in Waitrose, like finest hummus and whatever you buy in Waitrose, finest sugar snap peas, which I personally have never bought in my life, so I'm going to assume they're posh, but I don't really know. But you buy all of them, and instead of making a nice meal with them, you just put it all together and you deep fry it and you make posh food and chips or something. It's just so bad. And the weird thing about it is, like, the cast is great. The guy from the hot guy from Bridgerton 1, the sexy one, he gave up Bridgerton 2 for that. He wears 3 layers of clothes in that whole movie. I swear to God, he wears shirt, jumper, and jacket the whole time. So you spend $200 million on a movie, you cast the hot guy from Bridgerton 1, and he's wearing 3 layers of clothes the whole time. What a waste of money. You can't even put him in a linen suit, which is 1 layer, and we can get a little bit of definition if you put the light in right, because you get a hint of nipple. Not even, you got 3 layers, we don't even see none, there's nothing, and he's
just whole, if he's lit from behind, you get the full meat and potatoes.
It's so bad. It's got Ryan Gosling in it, it's got Chris Evans, it's got famous women who, I'm really bad, I find it really hard to remember the names of famous A-list celebrity women, but I know they're really famous. Because they cast really similar looking women. I'm face blind, but the women in it are really famous. So everyone's famous in it, and it's terrible. And I like to start a petition, a government petition, to stop Netflix making action movies. And I hope it will take off. It should be. We're talking about gas prices and the climate crisis.
I mean, like, I used to not take it personally. Watch that there were bad movies that exist, but now I have a child and I'm trying to pitch things.
it's like how I've made, like, I've pitched so much amazingness, and they make this is more than 60 seconds, but it really makes my blood boil, and like, there's bile in my mouth now. Excuse me, it's gone now. Thank you.
How many stars?
No stars. Oh my god, none. Literally, no. What's the opposite of star? A black hole. My arse. It gets 4 anuses.
4 anuses out yes. of infinity anuses. If we're talking about black holes. Thank you. That's all the time we have for our reviews section, because now it's time for our motoring section. As you know, all magazines have an excellent motoring section. And in this instance, it's a motoring slash tech section. Apparently, nerds and hackers are trolling Tesla owners by wirelessly opening the door to their charging ports using small handheld radios, just as a fun prank against Tesla owners. The problem is most of the Tesla owners are so used to weird things happening to their cars. They think, oh, this is just another disruption, and they don't realize that it's a horrible prank. Athena, you have opinions about cars. Can you unpack this story?
I can. First, there's lots of unpack. First of all, nerds are really, really boring. I'm sorry. You have all the power at your disposal, all the knowledge of the world. You know binary numbers and you know Java, and you're using it to open a port. Steal the car! Just steal it, okay? In my day, if you could get into a car, you'd get into it and you drive somewhere fun, and then you set fire to the car, and then you'd have a good day had by all. Oh, hey guys, look at me. I'm opening the charging port. Yeah. And so, nerds, please, if you can steal the car, steal it. If you can't, don't. But don't open a port. That's just boring. Secondly, I do think that Tesla owners should be trolled. Not, but electric vehicles are the way forward, even though they have their own environmental issues, which we won't go into. But they are the way forward. But there's lots of electric cars. Why would you choose to own a Tesla? Which, you know, I just sort of think every day there's a story about a Tesla exploding, or the driverless facility has driven someone off of a cliff, or, you know, it's just I don't feel like Tesla has ever had any good publicity ever in its whole life. I've never opened up a paper to read about how great Teslas are. I only ever opened them up to read about how horrifically poor these cars perform, and people are still buying them. Yeah, if it's a weird one. If you're a Tesla owner, you do deserve to have your car stolen from you. If you're a nerd, just do the right thing and make that happen and stop being boring. Hey guys, look how cool I am. I made the windscreen wiper move a little bit. Like, no. No.
No, bring back happy slapping. That's what I say. That's some good old school pranks that used to happen in my day.
Sorry, I've been boring all my life. What's happy slapping?
Happy slapping was, I think it came out just about when people were able to video stuff on their phones. And it was when, like, if you were sleeping on the bus, someone would come up and slap you. Actually, maybe not the nicest thing. Maybe I'm looking back at that with rose-tinted glasses. I just love the idea that we still innovate in pranks. Like, it's beautiful. Apparently, as a Tesla owner, you can control that by saying open butthole on it. you can voice command your car to open its butthole. And never have I ever felt like it's such a true reflection of the person that owns that company. Like, I feel...
I mean, first of all, if it were a true reflection of the person who owns that company, it would be open butthole, I'll give you a horse. Secondly... If it's the charging port, surely it should be mouth.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. It should be mouth. Maybe we can get on to... Well, I mean, come here.
We've just learned something about the eating habits of billionaires that I didn't want to know.
We're talking about buttholes and mouth to Elon Musk, a man who has sired many children. I don't think he opts for that. Like, you know, I don't think that's his number one option. Christ. His orifice of choice is none.
Family show, Alison.
Sorry,
show.
But you know.
That's all the time we have for our nerds trolling Tesla news, because now it is time for our final story of this week, our crypto section. This is the news that the crypto revolution wants to reimagine books. Now, straight out of the gate, I just want to say, I think the idea of, you know, revolutionizing, you know, old boring systems that have layers and layers of corruption and ancient things holding them back, that's a beautiful idea. But if we look at what happened when they tried to do that with money, and immediately ran into literally every problem that it's taken us 1,000 years to solve, you can see why maybe you don't want to change the book immediately. But let's have a little look at this story. Athena, I assume you're reading a lot of children's books right now, so can you unpack this NFT news?
My gosh, yes. So apparently crypto people love to reimagine things so we can live in a brighter world. And they have said that if we could buy a stake in a book rather than just own a copy of the book, but you buy a stake in the whole kind of IP of it, that way, if it's a successful book, your stake grows. So this exists already in, like, you know, if you crowdfund or, you know, people do that. They say, oh, give us £10, we'll make a film, and your reward would be to own a bit of the film. So they've not invented this. This is, like, already existed. And secondly, like, I just sort of think all the amazing books that are going to be amazing, who's going to do The Hungry Caterpillar again? Who's going to do it? It's been done. Who's going to do Dear Zoo again? Who's going to do it? It's been done. So I feel like they've missed the boat. Why does everything have to be about getting... Why can't I just own a book and read it and stick it on my shelf?
The idea of turning it into an investment opportunity is like so smacks of hustle culture. What's like, wrong monetize your hobby. Like, go fuck yourself. I like reading books. Don't make me think I should be earning money for doing it.
It's just like, what's wrong with these people? Like, it doesn't... Crypto doesn't work. It's failed. You're all broke. This is just... It didn't work. You tried to get us to invest in this thing and it was really complicated and we had to use wallets and we had to mine and we had to do this stuff and then we did it and we put up all our money in it and now it's all worth nothing. It's all worthless. And I say, no, now you can buy a bit of a book. And it's like, no, we don't want a bit of a book. We just want the whole book and we want to read it and we just want to get on with our lives. I think crypto now is a red flag. Anyone that says I need to get into crypto or everything, I just sort of think red flag, not relationship red flag, human red flag, you
know? But also to clarify, if you buy a stake in the NFT of the book, then you get earnings from the sales, not of the book, but of the NFT of the book. So again...
I'll tell you something. If I get out of bed and go to work and then come home, by the end of the week or month, I get paid, and that's good enough for me, all right? That is more or less good enough. If I write a script and I send it to someone and they buy it, I get paid. Can we just... do stuff for money rather than put bets? They're just trying to make our lives into big betting shops, and I don't want to bet for money. I just want to produce something lovely and sell it, or whether it's labor, whether it's creative, you know. I want to be a bricklayer. I want to go up, I want to get out of bed, go build a wall, have someone pay me for that wall and go home. I don't want to take a punt on the next Hungry Hippo book or whatever. I just want to have a job. And I want to then get money for that job and I want to enjoy my life. Crypto people, please go get into a Tesla and drive off a cliff. We're done with you. We're done.
Alison, would you buy an NFT portion of a book?
I would.
A prospective book?
I would. The book title would be Harry Potter and the Second Mortgage That He Had to Take Out Because of a Crypto Scam. Like, and they could invest heavily in that. No, it's just, like, for me... First editions almost seems like the physical embodiment of crypto scams anyway. You know, the way that, like, apparently it's like worth more if you're able to if you're able to say that you have like the first print of a book itself, when that seems like a scam. Because I mean, I they've printed like 3 million of these books. I can buy a book tomorrow in paperback probably cheaper than these first editions that people pay thousands for anyway. But no, it just seems like crypto for me doesn't, it never made sense a year ago, and I've been doing this podcast a year. Probably every podcast that we've done as well together has had a story about crypto. So I've been forcefully having to read articles about crypto, and it's still not working. Do you know? There's never a happy news story about crypto. There's never, well, like...
It's never.
Also, the sort of logistics of it don't quite work, because you're investing in the opportunity to be part of the success of a book. So you're investing in the NFT of the book on the premise that if the book then becomes successful, the NFT will become valuable, it will sell on, and you continue to make a profit the more it is sold on. But of course, what you have bought is the opportunity to say, I told you so, that a book was successful. No one is later going to buy the opportunity to buy the thing that you said, I told you so, about, because they were wrong. So what are you going to do? There's no secondary sales market. You've just made a product that no one wants to buy, which is your own smugness. No one's going to buy your own smugness later down the line. Apparently, some of them are now saying, well, what you can do is you can buy a token gate, which means that when you buy this NFT part of the book, then what you get is like access to behind the scenes conversations with the author. So they've just invented Patreon. And I do not understand why they feel the urge. Like, it's that thing where you're like, there's a gap in the market. No one's turned this into, as you say, Athena, it turned into a horrible gambling den. And then you just go, why would anyone?
Which book is going to gain the most investment? Like, it's going to be a Jordan Peterson book, isn't it?
Right, exactly. The people are going to start buying, like, My Life by Piers Morgan and all this crap. Don't buy a book because you think it will make you rich in the future. Buy a book because it will make you look clever when you bring your Tinder date home. That is a proper incentive for buying a book. Buy it because you can put it on your bookshelf in your Zoom background. It will make you look like you've got qualifications, okay? But don't buy it because it will make you look rich. It's a silly reason to buy a book.
Which is another thing, because what they're going to have to do when they sell these NFTs is sell certificates so that you can bring your date home and go, here, look, I own 1.6% of Infinite Jest as an NFT.
Well, what else have you got anymore? Your 25-meter swimming certificate as well. I mean, come on. Like, no, it's just also, I really want to eradicate the idea of NFTs and crypto from the world. And if I was Thanos, that would be my, who disappears? People with crypto. They can click, they're all gone.
Do you know what book my mum would love for me to invest in? The Bible. Do you know? Maybe we could take a moment to invest all of ourselves in a good book.
Have you heard the good news?
Yeah! Which part of the Bible would you invest in? Like, you know? Genesis, for sure.
All right, that's all the time we have for this week's episode of The Gargle. I'm flipping through the ads at the back. Athena, have you got anything you want to plug?
Oh, God, no, I'm doing nothing. It's August, so I've got nothing in my diary because everyone's going to Edinburgh. find me online. I'm sure I'm doing something, but, yeah, it's all on my socials, which is just my name. If you find my name online, you'll find me.
Excellent. Find Athena online. She's actually very good value. I follow her on Twitter. Alison, have you got anything to plug?
Yes, I do. I am doing...
Oh, by the way, when I say good value, I mean I've invested in an Athena NFT. And the more successful she is on Twitter, the more of a cut I get for my ego. So if you go follow her, I get a cut. So please do that.
So I'm doing a show called Wet Every Day, 4:45 in the Pleasance Courtyard, from the 3rd until the 29th, I think, of August. Every day apart from the 9th, because my sister's getting married that day. Also going to be in Dublin at the 5th of November in the Liberty Hall, and that's with Wet too. And follow me at Alison Spittle on Instagram. I have a link tree there that has all my information in the bio, and Twitter is Alison Spittle as well. And thank you so much, by the way, to the Garglers that came to see me in Leicester. Like, I actually got people just off the back of this podcast. So really,
if were they wearing their half a glass of water t-shirts? It's so great.
If you come to my Edinburgh show and you're a gargler, say hello to me, and thank you so much for being a listener and everyone. Thank you.
Well, for me, because at the moment I'm like dashing to shows and then dashing off so that I can feed my baby, I'm not getting to talk to the audiences as much as I would like, but I get to look out in the audience and see the half a glass of water t-shirts and be like, ah, it's like a real, genuinely, it's a real thrill. It's such a not to, you know, blow smoke up your asses, but it's nice to have a good audience.
Yeah.
And speaking of which, I own 13.6% of Wet as an NFT. Sorry, Alison, I minted you while you weren't watching. But do go along and support that in Edinburgh. I'm Alice Fraser. Find me online at alliterative, A-L-I-T-E-R-A-T-I-V, on Twitter and Instagram, or patreon.com/AliceFraser is a one-stop shop for all of my stand-up specials, podcasts, and blogs. This is a Bugle podcast production and an Alice Fraser production. Your editor is Fed Hunter and Ross Golding. Your executive producer is Chris Skinner. I'll talk to you again next week.
Hold up.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.